Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We're ready to die for Christ, but I wonder if we are ready to live for him. The disciples were hiding for fear of the Jews. Intellectually, they know that Jesus is alive. The women had told them the Emmaus disciples had also returned, but emotionally, they're still afraid. The Jews are still out there, planning whatever they are planning. So better for them to keep their heads down, to remain outside of the public eye, so that way they don't stir up any trouble. Better for them, so they think, to not say anything lest someone be offended. And then they end up like Jesus, not dead, but publicly mocked and shamed and ridiculed. Seen as religious zealots, fanatics, at whom men roll their eyes, and perhaps their heads should also roll. Intellectually, we know that Jesus is alive. We know the details quite well. Emotionally, though, we can still be afraid. We're not so much afraid of death. We know that heaven is our home and that Christ at the last will raise our body. We know that we will gain the eternal bliss that Christ has prepared for us. No more fear, no more worry, no more suffering, physically or mentally. No more fallen, cursed world, no more unbelievers harassing, no more stubborn friends or parents or kids. No more weighty decisions that we must make not only for ourselves, but clean up after the bad decisions others have made. We know that all things will be good when our Lord brings us to heaven. That is our goal. And it is always better to have the goal than to strive for it. It is always better to be home than to have to discipline ourselves for a journey and to explain why we do what we do. So I don't think we're really all that afraid of death. We know the outcome. But we are afraid to live. Let me give you an example. Although we know that Christianity in America is on a steep decline, although we worry about this congregation and where it will be tomorrow, still we're silent. What do we say to friends or coworkers or family? Are we bold and tell them the joy that we have in the resurrection, or are we quiet? Do we tell them Easter was a joy because our risen Lord had come to us in his body to give us his eternal forgiveness and peace? Or do we instead fear the mock and the ridicule that they may throw at us? Which one will let us keep our job? Which one will gain us more friends? Which one will bring more shame? Is Easter worth it or not? Is it something to speak about or not? Should we just simply tell them that we had a relaxing, good time with friends and family? Maybe better to keep our heads down, to remain Christians inside here but not out there, lest we incur the ridicule and the abuse. Not so much physically. I don't think we're anywhere near being in danger physically for our faith. But to be shamed, to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be seen as those religious zealots, those nationalistic Christians, maybe better not to say anything. When death comes, we meet it with joy and confidence. But when we are asked to live for Christ, we gradually are worn out. We're not quite sure if Easter is worth it. We hedge our bets. We don't want to deal with unrepentant kids or stubborn parents. We don't want to deal with mental ailments or physical difficulties. We don't want to have to deal with so many decisions for ourselves and for others. We don't want to have to deal with a cursed world day after day after day. In other words, we don't want to live in Easter. Christ is crucified and Christ is risen. But still the HR departments are there. Still friends and family have their comments. Still the kids will do as they please. And we don't see a way out. So our fear of locking ourselves in silence is really a denial of the resurrection. We don't know if it really has changed anything. We know the history well, but we're not so sure about the benefits. Like a child who is scared of the dark, our fears well up. Rationally, we know that there is nothing for us to worry. Christ has told us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and his church will endure till the end. But we still just can't move forward. So we act like Christ is not alive but dead. We act like he is not the king, but just another person. We act like he is not with us, but is somewhere far off in the distant. Our fear must turn to joy. Easter is worth it. But that is not something we can contrive and work up in ourselves. It is something that only Christ can give. So he came to his terrified disciples so that he would steal all of the attention for himself. And when they saw him, they rejoiced. When they saw the wounded side, they were glad. When they saw the marked nails, the hands, they were happy. They now rejoice over the very things that the angels themselves rejoice over. Not sadness that Christ has died, but joy that Christ now has died and lives. His death and resurrection means something. It means peace and forgiveness for them. And now Christ comes to give it to them. It has changed everything for them, so much so that they have become lost in him. Oblivious to their own needs and feelings, they are so focused on Christ and the joy and the forgiveness that he brought. Does he not also come to us bodily? Does he not interrupt our fearful world with his forgiveness? We are not the center of this world. We are not even the center of our own life. He is. And the more that we are curved in on ourselves, the more we become afraid. The more we are curved outward toward him, the more he will increase our joy. He must be the center of our life, because Easter does mean something for us. It means that we can now live for him, that he can be the center of our life without having to worry about the mockings and the ridicules of others, that he can now be the one about whom we speak without fearing what others will say, that we can now live through whatever adversity, trouble, or difficulty he may send, because he is the king and he has overcome all for us. His love, his death, his resurrection, his forgiveness and his peace so consume our thoughts and our minds and our hearts and our bodies that we are oblivious to the way that we feel and what we want, and we are caught up in him and the eternal gifts that he desires to give. Easter means something. It means that now this service, every Sunday, week after week, is the highlight of your week. Better than holding a newborn grandchild or child or great-grandchild. Far better than seeing a family member. Far better than having health or joy or any kind of physical peace. This is our everything, because here we find a risen and living Savior ready to impart forgiveness, which alone brings that peace and joy that surpasses all human understanding. I know that we want to hold back. I know we want to hedge our bets because we're not quite sure. We don't want to be burned or mocked or ridiculed. HR may catch wind. The unrepentant kids may decide to cut us off from grandkids and others. So is Easter worth it or not? That is why Christ comes yet again to take center stage, to direct all of your thoughts and attention toward him, away from what is going on out there, so that he may be the focus of your life. And he does that with a very simple word: I forgive you all your sins. He moved the Red Sea, slayed Goliath, and walked through closed doors, so what do we have to fear? Believe that he is present with you. believe that his forgiveness means something, not just for the future, but something right now. Believe that to live is Jesus. That to live at this moment, in this time in history, is not a curse, but it is a great privilege because we have an opportunity. Believe that to gather with him and with our fellow believers at this hour is the best thing that will happen to us this week. So you can make your decisions. You can move on with the week. You can plan. You can do all of that without fear and worry because your Savior lives. And that means something. When your child was afraid of the dark, you did not turn his attention to the dark, to the unknown, or to the monsters. You redirected his focus to that person who was just down the hall saying, "Everything will be okay." So why do we adults not follow our own advice? How come when we are afraid or sad or worried or stressed, do we let our thoughts linger on those things? Is that not counterproductive? Does that not just increase our stress and our worries and our fears? Why not rather focus on Christ? Why not rather redirect our attention away from those things that are troubling us and to the one who is alive? Why not rather, if we are able, gather to hear that forgiveness once more? Why not rather come and confess and receive absolution from the pastor as from God himself? Why not rather come early, eagerly, and preparing our hearts and minds to hear his word and to receive his supper once more? Why not rather pray and meditate on that word of God? I fear the answer is because we don't think it will actually do anything except take up more time. That forgiveness is great for getting us to heaven, but for our day-to-day life, it's not really going to fix any of these problems. In other words, we don't think Easter is really worth it. But what has been the result of such attitudes? Are we not left afraid? Perhaps we should listen to Christ's words. Perhaps we should believe what he has promised. Perhaps we should dwell in the forgiveness and desire to hear it more and more each day. Perhaps we should live as if Easter actually matters, that the Jews do not get the final say, and neither does HR, and neither do our unrepentant kids, and neither does the unbelieving culture, and neither does politics. As much as we concern ourselves with who will be elected at whatever time, why not rather focus on the one who reigns autonomously by himself forever? Because Easter does matter. And it means that he is with us to forgive us our sins and to give us an eternal dwelling. Perhaps we should get lost in his word on election day or on a worrisome trouble someday. Perhaps we should find rest in his word and in his sacraments. Perhaps we should lose ourselves in the sermon, in the readings, in the hymns, in the psalms. Perhaps we should rejoice at his sacramental presence and not concern ourselves with how we feel or what is going on in the world, because Jesus lives and he reigns. The service is not about you, it's about him. He remains the focus. So that is him up there, not you, for he alone is the Savior. And your life is not about you either, it's about him. And it's about the eternal gifts that he desires to give to you so that you can now live for him. For when he is the center, then joy will come. Not peace, not ease, not rest, at least how we think of it, but joy. A joy that no longer worries or frets over tomorrow. A joy that believes Easter is something great and worthy of sharing with others. For when he is the focus, not only can we die for him, but we are also emboldened to live for him. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.